to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to give you today from the Word of God a way that you can live a successful Christian life. How you can be victorious. You know, there's a lot of people in our world today that are entering into the year 2020 with dark and foreboding messages. I'm going to buck the trend. I believe that we, in the midst of what the world sees as the worst of circumstances, that we can live victoriously, no matter what the circumstances. And I believe you've got a formula. Right here in 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll begin our reading in verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I think we're all prone to get into ruts in the Christian life. And I think it's important that we're reminded by passages like this that circumstances should never dictate to us how we are to live. We are to live trusting God at every moment of every day and submitting ourselves unto His rule. Now, I'm going to give you some... These are not suggestions either. These are tried and true principles for living a victorious and a Christian life. First of all, surrender your life. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. The key words that are in these two verses are submit, subject, and humble yourself. The only way that you're going to live a victorious Christian life is to submit yourself to the lordship of Christ. When Saul of Tarsus, the day that he was saved, I think it's remarkable that one of the first things that he said after God had called him out of darkness into His marvelous light, he said, "Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do?" Here was a proud Pharisee, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, religious, who was seeking to destroy Christianity. And when Jesus Christ changed his life, he had a completely, entirely new outlook. He had been changed so remarkably that he went from hating Christ to now saying, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to say, whatever I need to give up or add to my life, here I am." It was complete surrender. He laid down the weapons of his warfare against God. And God gave him grace to submit to God first and foremost. I'm going to tell you something. If you're rebelling against God and against His Word and against His law, you're not going to win. I can guarantee you right now, he that hardeneth his neck, he that is often reproved and hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 29:1, I can guarantee you, rebellion is not the way to go against God. It is submission. Submission. Resignation to His way, rather than your way. It's all about being brought to an end of yourself and trusting only in the one who can save you, the Lord Jesus Christ. For me, this miracle of grace happened 40 years ago. And it's unexplainable. It's even unreasonable for mere human beings to say, how can God take someone who is such a rebel, so against Him, and change him completely to where I'd be preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you, God made me willing in the day of His power. He changed me forever. And the only way that you're going to live a successful Christian life, it starts with submission. And the Lord has to bring you to the end of yourself. Surrender your life to God and be clothed with humility. Take the place of a servant, a bond slave, where your will is brought under the will of the Master. Are you under God's authority today? Are you under His will? Are you doing what His Word says? Are you continuing to walk in your own way, according to your own wisdom? Submit to God. Be clothed with humility. Be clothed literally means to tie something on oneself with a knot or a bow. The term was often used as a servant or a slave would put on an apron over his clothes to keep his clothes clean. You're to bring yourself under God's authority, submit to Him, and to be clothed with humility, saying, not my will, but Thine be done. All I am is a servant. All I am is a slave. I am completely submitted to the direction of the Master, to the will of the Master. Submit yourself. Don't delay. Don't go another day. Submit yourself unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Be clothed with humility. Now I believe the text, if you read the context here, he says, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. He says in verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." The elder in our text is not merely someone who was older than you. You ought to have respect for those who are older, those who are seasoned saints of God. You know, we've lost that in our society. There is very little respect for those with more experience. We're living in a society where people think it's cool to be rebellious against those who are older. There's no respect for the elderly anymore. In fact, Ezekiel Emanuel, who is a doctor related to Rahm Emanuel, who was Mr. Obama's chief of staff, this man was part of the health care plan and everything. He said, if you're over 75, your race is run. There's no sense in even messing with you anymore. You're a drain on society. Now that's the long and short of it. But listen, that's how people think today. I thank God for old saints of God who have weathered the storms of life, who are faithful and dedicated. And we ought to respect them and love them and cherish their wisdom and their fellowship. But I believe there is, in the context, submit yourself unto the elder, is talking about those who teach and preach the Word of God. You didn't know I was going to pull that card today, did you? I'm going to tell you something. When I get up here and I preach and I teach God's Word, my sole aim is to glorify God. And my secondary aim is to feed the flock of God, to teach you the truth, to exhort you to practice the truth. And if what I say and what I preach lines up with the Word of the living God, you better obey. Because if you don't, you will be chastened. If you belong to the Lord and you don't obey the truth, and you don't obey the Word of God as it's faithfully delivered by the elder, by the pastor, again, you're fighting the wrong battle. I don't preach against your sins to make you angry at me. I do it because I love you. I don't want you to go contrary to the Lord, because I know where it leads. And the Bible clearly, with unmistakably, says in Hebrews 13:7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, their way of life." Verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Now there are preachers who are in it for themselves, who are in it for the straight cash, homie. They want you to reach in those jeans and pull out those greens. Don't forget to tuck in your love gift to the preacher. Well, you don't have a preacher like that. You don't have a pastor like that. I live among you. I labor among you. I preach the word of the living God. Now, I am not the final authority. I'm a sinner. I'm a man. And I've never taken the place of a dictator. But I will stand flat-footed behind this sacred desk and tell you what's true and what's right, and you ought to do it. Submit yourself to the truth. When we're clothed with humility, it really means we are covered with a sense of our own unworthiness and a willingness to do whatever God commands us. Humility is being lowly minded, meaning an attitude that one is not too good to serve and to serve others. You ever met somebody that thinks what they consider to be a menial task is below them, and they would never think about doing that? You ought to be a meat cutter, son. You ought to work for your dad in a meat shop. You want to be humbled. Every stinky job is yours. I mean, you're the one that's going to be scrubbing the meat tables, cleaning the saw, cleaning stuff, scrubbing toilets. That's not beneath me. I still do it. I'm 61 years old. And that job's not beneath me. You do what needs to be done. And you're willing to help other people. Teach your kids this. That no job is too menial if it helps others. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Be submissive to His way and His will. I wonder today, are you humbled before the Lord? Are you clothed with humility? Are you willing to serve? Even when it's something that is so menial. You see, if you're a child of God, you're going to heaven. Your sins have been forgiven. And if God directs you in such a way that you have to serve others, you ought to do it with joy. You ought to be clothed with humility, because that's having the mind of Christ. This is the way of victory. Do you know in ancient times, humility was not a virtue? In ancient pagan cultures, they looked at being lowly minded as weakness. It's not. In fact, look what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2. Keep your place back here. We'll be going back. Philippians 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How willing are you to line up under God's sovereign will and His direction in every aspect of your life? To be faithful to God, to surrender your life completely, not just to His care, but also to His guidance and His leadership. Because the Lord's never going to lead you to go contrary to His Word. Micah 6:8 says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You realize God hates pride? It's one of the seven things that He considers an abomination. And how prideful is it when you're so willful that you disobey God and you disobey His Word to fulfill your own selfish desires? So, oh, preacher, I don't do that. You're lying. All of us are guilty of it. You want to be victorious? You got to surrender. You got to say, Lord, here am I. And there is a sweetness to that. When you can surrender completely and submit yourself under the mighty hand of God and say, Lord, I believe with every fiber of my being, You know what's best for me. Here am I, Lord. Do with me as You will. Secondly, verse 7. It's not just about surrender. Send all your worries to God, all your cares. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Christians are to cast all their worries, all their discontent, discouragement, despair, and suffering upon the Lord, trusting that He knows what's best for them. How much time have you wasted this year worrying? Think of the turmoil our country's been in. Everybody's worried, fretting, tore up, unhappy, discontent. They fear the future. Every day people turn on the TV, they watch the news. Not me, I don't. I don't watch the news. I already know how it's turning out. I can guarantee you, I pretty much know the narrative every day. And I'm not buying in. I'm trusting God. I'm dependent on Him. Every day, the virus is going to kill you. And you know what? People ought to be more fearful of God and His judgment than they are about getting sick. I'm not downplaying it. If you're old and you got underlying conditions and you get it, it's going to knock you for a loop and it could kill you. And let me guarantee you this, the wages of sin is death. You're going to die because you're a sinner. You're going to die because that is the way of, as it is appointed unto man, once to die, and after this, the judgment. I'm not going to let the news media dictate to me how to live. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to walk in His ways. And I'm going to try to be a help to other people. But I'm not going to wake up every day thinking, am I going to get this virus today? What happens if I do? If I get it, I'm going to deal with it like every other thing I've ever dealt with. I'm going to turn it over to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. If that virus germ comes into me, I understand God is the one who allowed it. And I'll rest in His goodwill and believe that He is able. Trust. Listen, I'm going to tell you, worry kills spiritual trust. And it promotes unbelief. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Send your worries to God. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Listen, you're a child of the King. If He can feed birds, He can care for you. Have you ever noticed something you hardly ever... If you're out, you hardly ever see dead birds laying around. You ever think about that? Well, I know the reason why. Because when they die, old Kaint, that's what the kids named our cat, old Kaint probably gets them and eats them. It's a cycle of life, you know. God works it all out. But the fact is, God sustains this entire universe. Don't you think He can sustain you? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? One cubit is about 18 inches. What I could do if I had 18 more inches, I'd be stuffing LeBron James. But alas, I can't add a cubit. I'm just a short, fat Baptist preacher that'll never dunk. I can't add that because I am what I am. It's the way God made me. We got to learn to be content with what God, because you can't add even an inch to your stature. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Stop worrying. Send your worries to God. Cares and difficulties will come and go, and we need to learn to cast them upon God instead of carrying them with us everywhere, because it weighs us down. Think about things that are completely out of your control. Things that there is nothing, absolutely nothing you can do and you lose sleep over it. And you think about ways that you can make it all work out. I know, in the middle of the night, you wake up thinking, if only, you know what, this is it. I got the answer. I know how to fix it. And you let it roll through your mind without submitting yourself to God. And say, Lord, I'm going to do my best, but I'm trusting you. Send your worries to God. Carrying burdens zaps your spiritual strength and vitality. How many of you have picked up square bales out of a field? Yeah, Joe, put your hand down, Joe. He's always bragging about that. All right? But think about this. When you're baling hay, doesn't it make more sense to throw the bales on the truck or the wagon and then take them to the barn instead of trying to carry them one by one? That'd make for an awful long, tiresome day, wouldn't it? And that's what a lot of people do with their worries. They just keep toting them around instead of giving them to the Lord. You know, Peter knew something about casting all your care upon thee, for he careth for you. He experienced this firsthand. I started thinking about all the times that the Lord intervened in the life of Peter, who wrote this. He experienced this firsthand. He knew how God cares for his people. He watched as Jesus healed his mother-in-law of a fever in Mark chapter 1, verse 29 through 31. He allowed, the Lord allowed him to make a great catch of fish in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. He even, when it was time to pay his temple tax, the Lord directed a fish right to where he was, and he caught that fish, opened its mouth, and there was exactly a coin in there that would pay his temple tax. Well, that's miraculous. Now, Ed, don't get any ideas. I don't know if there's such a fish in Rankin's Creek. Don't know if there is or not. He enabled him, think about this. Peter was the world's greatest water walker among men. He was the only one that said, Lord, I want to walk on water. And he bid him come, and that old boy stepped out. And then when he began to sink, he said, he knew where to look. He said, Lord, save me, I perish. And the Lord reached out and brought him up. See, Peter was there when he was so impulsive that when Judas betrayed the Lord and that great company of soldiers came against him, Peter took his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. This could have caused a huge ruckus. And the Lord created, just put that ear right back on there. Healed him. How about when the Lord delivered Peter from prison? In Acts chapter 12, James had just been killed. And Peter was going to be next. And remember, he was sleeping between those two soldiers. He had seen the Lord too many times work. And he was fully resigned. Lord, if you want me to be delivered, I'm trusting you. And that angel had to literally shake him and wake him. And he delivered him from prison. He cares for us. Jesus Christ has invested his life in ours. He cares for our souls. Put your confidence in him. Stop carrying your burdens and your worries and your discontentment and go to Him. He's bid us come. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Strengthen your walk with God. See, trusting God with everything doesn't give you a license to live carelessly. No, you're to be sober. You are to be focused, be serious, be vigilant, be alert, be aware, be focused on the task that's at hand. Don't let anything muddle your thinking. Your work is too great, and your adversary is real. Amillennialists say that Satan is bound. And I'll never forget what that old black woman said. She said, well, if he's bound, he got a mighty long chain. Fact of the matter is, Satan is alive. He hates God, His Word, and he hates you. And yet most of the world is under his direction. Satan is a ferocious adversary. He is the ultimate slanderer who wants to destroy your good name and your testimony. He's likened here to a lion. Lions are ferocious and forceful. A male lion can eat up to 30% of his body weight in one day. And a mature lion's roar can be heard 5 miles away. I guarantee you, if there was a lion strolling down Buffalo Creek, I wouldn't go outside and say, "Who do you think you are? I live here." No, sir. I'd find a gun big enough to shoot it and put it down before it came and got my family. Now, I know that's not politically correct, but there probably is not going to be a lion coming down Buffalo Creek. I wonder, do you resist the devil, or do you invite him into your home? See, Satan wants to impose his will on you and your family. And we're to resist with all of our might by trusting God. Be sober, be vigilant. I'm so glad that the Lord liberated me from the bondage of drink and drugs. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of grace. But I think of how many people in our world today who are in bondage to sin, much worse than I was ever in. They say that during these lockdowns, suicide rates and heroin overdoses have just gone through the roof. People have no hope. And a check from the government isn't going to change that. They need the Lord. Resist the devil. Because he wants to destroy you and your family. And see God work. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Acknowledge God working. He's the God of all grace. That ought to brighten your corner when you think of all the grace God's poured out upon your life, all the provision that He's made, all of the blessings that you share in, forgiveness of sins, a home in heaven, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the promises of the Word of God, a roof over your head, all attributed to the grace and the goodness of God. This is the way we need to go into 2021. Not with our heads hung low. Not feeling as though we're victims of something. We're victors in Jesus Christ. We're going to trust the Lord to make us firm, to settle us, to strengthen us for whatever may come. We're going to depend upon Him, and we're going to acknowledge that everything that happens, even the sufferings, are for His glory and our good. And we're going to say to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. As we enter into a new year, count your blessings from 2021 or from 2020 and look forward to how God is going to work in your life, in your family, in our church. Resist the devil. Cast your cares upon the Lord. And serve Him with all your might. This might be Jesus is coming again. This might be the year. Let's be ready. Let's be watching. Let's be praying. And let's be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's all stand. 141.